Reading this conference will
about emotional intelligence, and I'm going to suggest to you that it came out of the Network Marketing Times. There was an article in the Network Marketing Times from March, April. So those of you who have it, you can look up the article in there. But I started reading the article on, it was more like a kind of a book review, it turned out to be, on emotional intelligence, and it fascinated me. I mean, I can't say I haven't heard of the terminology emotional intelligence before, but I never pursued it like I did over the weekend. And the reason it fascinated me is because I could see where definitely in my past and still, you know, today in my life, but clearly heavily in my past, how EQ was something I was seriously lacking in for many, many years. And the Clemmer work and self-development work I did really helped me a lot in this arena, but I never looked at it. I didn't look at it like emotional intelligence. I didn't have that terminology, and this has pinpointed it even more so. It's given me a lot more clarity and direction with what it is that we need to work on, what it is that the majority of us need to work on. And so I wanted to highlight that in our call today to help maybe open some floodgates for some of you guys, because we're either green or growing or ripe and rotting. And some of us in network marketing get very stuck, and I don't know how many on the call today feel like, hey, Mary Jo, if I asked you right now, how many of you feel stuck? How many would raise their hand? You know, I suspect probably 70% of you out there in the field would probably raise your hand, and there'd be another out of the 30% that didn't. Probably some of you were like, I don't want to be honest with myself, or, you know, or I'm not sure I really want to do this anyway. We have other things that are causing us to say that we're not stuck, but the reality is that we are. So the important is what is keeping us stuck? And I think if you can give all the tools today. I can look at what Manifest presented us, and I'm teaching a strategy class. Many of you are in it right now. It's called Marketing Mania 2011, where I'm teaching 10 different strategies over a 20-week period of time. So we're not short of strategies on how to grow our business. We're not short of people who could get involved. And we're not short of an environment that has massive numbers who are desperately looking for sources of income, for new sources of income, because the job market is really drying up here in the United States. So we have all this momentum going our way. So what's stopping us? And it continues to go back to looking in that mirror, and that's what's stopping us. So if I can add anything to your lives to help you move forward in your own personal growth, then that's the direction I really want to commit to with you, and I want you to open your eyes to look at it differently. And so let's talk about emotional intelligence, because it's a big area. It's a big issue. It's something that's been written about for years now, and so it's not something new. Maybe in the last 10 years it really became a topic of awareness for us. But let's kick off and just look at network marketing first. Well, network marketing, we know that women are, if you look it up on the search on the internet, I found a website out there that said over 82% of the people involved in network marketing are women. So we know that, and this doesn't shut you out, men, by any means. All you got to do is look at all the, you know, top income earners in Manatech, and you'll see that they're couples or they're men up there on stage. So it's not that men aren't effective at this business. It's just that 82% of the people that get involved in network marketing today are women, and our numbers are great. And probably it's things like Mary Kay that causes this number to be so great too, because some of the largest companies are exclusively women's products, or almost exclusively women's products. There are men in Mary Kay, but their numbers are less than 0.1%. So we also would agree probably, if I just ask you a question, I'm not trying to get into judgment or stereotyping, but women typically are more emotional than men, and that's something that is more based on our social reality, how we're raised, our roles in our society historically. Now, I want to put the word historically because we see a shift going on in our country today, and we see a shift across the world today, and not just today, but it's a shift that's been occurring for the last 40, 50 years. And it's a trend that's allowing men to feel more confident and comfortable expressing emotions, and men are participating more in raising kids and all these things that cause that connectedness and perhaps more emotional responses. And we see more and more women going into the workforce that are trying to leave behind their emotions because they think that they're not a positive thing in a work environment. Well, that's a wrong assessment, but it's truly what's happening as well. So, but we have to look at this. So, you know, is it a positive thing to be emotional? And I'm going to suggest to you it can be positive and negative. So you have to look at it as, you know, if you happen to be a very expressive person with lots of emotions, you need to look at yourself and say, boy, I don't want it to be a negative. I just want it to be a positive in my life. And that's what emotional intelligence is about. Whether you're highly emotional today or not emotional at all, how do you evaluate yourself about where you are in being smart about the emotions that you're expressing and or developing ways of being a little, expressing a little bit more emotion in circumstances where you're void of emotions? So that's what we look at, emotional intelligence. Emotions can play a positive or negative role in your life, and they can play a positive or negative role in a circumstance, in a one-second response, in a 10-hour discussion, in a one-hour fight with your spouse, in a ability to get along with your children. I mean, it plays a role in every aspect of your life. But as defined in this article, it was defined emotional intelligence as your ability to recognize emotions in yourself and others, recognize them. That's a self-awareness concept. And your ability to use the awareness in order to best manage your behavior and your relationships. So that's what emotional intelligence is. So some of you go, well, what's so big deal about that? Well, it's a huge deal because there are a lot of us. Let's start with just awareness. And of course, as I've talked to you before, awareness is the first step of any change we make in our life. Are you aware of your emotions as they arise? And this is a great question. Now, some of you can say, well, when you get angry, clearly you can see that because it's coming out in a really ugly way. I mean, you can become a black cat. You can start screaming. Your old voice gets elevated. Blood pressure goes up all day. You turn bright red. You feel like you're about to burst. So those people like to hide their emotions. They internalize them, which causes major stress. I mean, there's just a lot of things. But we can look back and say, well, you know, if you just looked at your last 7 days, when did you see some emotions expressed? And talk about and just think about that. But we need to be more perceptive as they arise. They drew a picture in this book about how, you know, our information that sends to our brain goes through the emotional tract before it gets to the rational and logical. So we're always spurned on by our emotions because they're the first thing to get the information. Isn't that intriguing? I never thought about it that way. That in our brain, the first area to get that information, it passes through the emotion section before it gets to the rational, logical reasoning. So perhaps that's why some of you respond so quickly when somebody says something to you and boom, you're all over them like that. Well, it hit that emotional edge first. But the idea is understanding once you sense that emotion and being aware of it, the important thing is how do you control it? How do you utilize it to your best advantage, right? And that's the important thing that we need to grasp onto. And it's not about quashing emotions, people. That's not what this whole emotional intelligence is about. It's about capturing the emotions and allowing yourself to be most effective utilizing the energy behind that emotion in a way that's going to create the best and most positive results. He said in the book, they said 83% of those with high awareness. Oh, did they say in here? I think they said something like, two-thirds of the people have no control over their emotions. They're out of control or don't have any awareness around it. Only one-third really have an awareness. So there's a huge market out there for this because most of us, 2 out of 3 people, have no clue of this emotional intelligence. The people who have high self-awareness about their emotions, they have a high level of awareness of their emotions, ability to use it to empower them and create best results. 83% of those with high self-awareness are top performers. So are you getting to see this? That this plays an incredible role in your effectiveness in everything that you do. So if you understand that, then why wouldn't you want to be more effective with emotional intelligence? I did. I mean, I started reading this going, I'm in. I'm all in. If this is going to help me perform at a higher and best level. Only 2% of the people who have high self-awareness fall in a low performance category. So what's your percentage chances of improving yourself by becoming more emotionally intelligent? Huge. Huge. It's a win-win for you. When you look at self-awareness, the self-awareness, that's like a first step. Self-awareness becomes first. The second step is how we use the self-awareness to stay flexible and direct our behavior positively is called self-management. So that's the second step. Self-awareness is just being aware when that emotion hits, when that sad or the joy or the overwhelming or the passion or the, you know, the anger or the, all those emotions. If I had you draw a list of emotions, you could probably come up with, off the top of your head, probably 30 different emotions. And you might experience each one of those every, you know, every week of your life. Some of you might experience them every day of your life. But to be aware of those emotions that you're going through and alert to them to find out where they're coming from. Because if you, that's important, because that's a way to have more control over them if you understand the origination of them and why they're there and what choices you have around it. But the choices become the self-management part. So self-management looks like, you know, I put one in the thing. I said, I'm so mad at that darn dog, and you get so angry at like a pet or something. Well, it's a moment of almost lack of self-control. And how many of you, if you look back in your last week, could say, oh, Mary Jo, I can think of a time when I've lost self-control, if you're being perfectly honest? Yeah. There might have been some time in the last week or 2 weeks or month or whatever where you lost self-control because you became angry. You became so angry it robbed you. It controlled you in that moment. And when you're talking about self-management, you're talking about when you have those moments of lack of self-control where you can actually step back, because now you're almost like looking at yourself from an independent third party. Or you can see what's coming before you make it happen. And you manage that, so you put aside your momentary need and you put that on hold, your momentary need on hold, to pursue a larger and more important goal. In other words, what's more important here, that I get to spew out my anger and release all that garbage that I'm carrying, or that I maintain a better, tighter relationship with my spouse or my child or my whatever? Why am I making this about me instead of about them? You know, I mean, it's what are you doing with your focus? Where's all your focus? And then so being able to manage that emotion instead of allowing it to control your life. And social self-awareness and self-management come in the category of personal competence. So it's really dealing with yourself, you personally, not necessarily in relationship with somebody else, but about self-management. And so I'm going to give you some examples because I come right out of the book. And here's an example, just example of reading about what is a person with high awareness, someone with a high self-awareness score, what do they look like? Well, if you would interview people around them at a work environment, here's what people around them would say about them. In every situation that I've been involved with, good or bad, Maria has always remained calm, cool, and collected, even at times when I know she must have felt frustrated or angry. Maria is really honest about what she is feeling, about getting bent out of shape about it. When faced with a difficult situation, she knows how to be firm and still kind at the same time. She is open, authentic at all times, and it is so meaningful to everyone that she interacts with. I would suggest that Maria not change. However, she may be able to get a bit tougher sooner in some cases. She is aware of this and watches to ensure that she does not let kindness get in the way. Now, that's somebody who has great awareness, okay? Great self-awareness. Now, what does somebody look like in a work environment who doesn't have great self-awareness? Here's what people have to say about this guy's name is Gillies. Gillies is very much in his own little world. He obviously does care about his coworkers, but he doesn't seem to know where to draw a line. His personality can be overwhelming, but he doesn't notice when the other person is feeling annoyed, frustrated, or overwhelmed by him. When working with customers, he is very good at talking about the products and services we offer. On group projects, sometimes he gets so focused on the outcome, the process is missed. If he were to take a moment and let all the emotions settle, then take a look at the options to reach the desired outcome, things would go more smoothly. Gillies is passionate about what he does. Sometimes that passion gets in the way. He might not notice that I'm busy with something else before he jumps in and starts talking to me. When he's excited, he talks over you, and it's hard to get a word in edgewise. He doesn't mean to. He just is excited about what he does. Now, did you hear those two examples of descriptions of people in a work environment? And you can apply them to Manatech, networking. You can apply it to your upline, yourself. Look at those and say, which one sounded like me? Which one had what characteristics in those two people were more like me than they were? And then start evaluating and saying, wow. See how this feedback helps? If you could have somebody in your own environment say, give me some feedback. How do you see that I work? And you just get feedback. Now, remember what feedback is. It's somebody else's opinion. It's not fact, truth, but it's their opinion of your behavior. And that can always help you to get some insight. But these are great descriptions of people that have self-awareness versus those who don't, because the difference that they portray in an environment. And notice how about passion and excitement. Is it always a good thing? No. Not when you quash somebody else in your environment. Okay? So that's a self-awareness. Now let's look at self-management, okay? Self-management. They gave you some examples in self-management. If you looked at somebody who has great self-management, how would you describe that person? Here's a person. Her name is Lane, a healthcare administrator, and she got a very high score in self-management. And here's what people say about her. Lane is the epitome of patience and understanding during heated, emotionally charged meetings. Others around her become fully embroiled in the discussion, and Lane actively listens and responds with knowledge and wisdom. I've seen firsthand how well she deals with difficult situations. She's sensitive yet direct and to the point. She listens patiently and sets a high standard of conduct. She is great one-on-one. She communicates well and thinks on her feet. Her reaction to crisis is excellent. Her ability to separate emotion from logic makes her a good tactical manager. I wish there were more of her. Boy, wouldn't you like somebody to describe you that way? Yeah. Okay, here's a person described. His name is Jason, somebody who has a lack of self-management. What does he look like in a workplace? In stressful situations or when something goes wrong, Jason sometimes responds too quickly, sharply, or disjointedly. I wish Jason would take more time to cool off and slow down before responding. He's so emotional. I've seen his coworkers respond in disbelief to the manner in which he communicated with them. Jason means well, but can panic when he is stressed. His reactions trickle onto his teammates. Jason should be more aware of his verbal outbursts and how they affect both clients and coworkers. He's not mean-spirited. He cares a great deal about others, but these verbal miscues are just that. They're outbursts that need to be thought out before expressed. Jason lets emotions rule his behavior. That's what lack of self-management. Okay, so you guys starting to see this, the difference, and you can say, oh, wow, some of that describes me. I can see myself in that role. I can see myself in another role. But these are important characteristics to understand. How is it that you're perceived and how is it that you're behaving in environment, and are you really doing well in self-awareness and self-management or not? Now, if you look at that social competence, because that's really personal competence, those two, self-awareness. Social competence is defined by social awareness and relationship management. Social awareness is your ability to accurately pick up on emotions in other people. Watch, where's the focus now? Off of you and more on other people, and understand what is really going on for them. It requires you to stay focused on them, not on what your emotions are doing. That's social awareness. And then, of course, relationship management is your ability to use that social awareness and the awareness of your own emotions with those of others to best manage interactions successfully. In fact, relationship management is absolutely crucial if you want to build relationships with people. And what is our business in network marketing? It's all about building relationships with people. And how many of us want to be the tellers all the time and the ones in control and always, boy, this gives you a whole new light, doesn't it, about where our behavior needs to shift to build the highest and best, you know, relationship with people. So let's take a look at what that looks like if people were examining. Okay, so I'm going to read to you now. I'm just going to give you, again, right out of the book about what is social awareness looks like. If somebody had a high score in social awareness, how would they be described in their workforce? This is a guy whose name is Alfonso. He said he got a very high rating in social awareness. Alfonso has a rare talent to be able to read the emotions of others very well. He adjusts to different situations and manages to build relationships with almost anyone. Good examples are dinners, meetings, and ride-alongs with reps. Alfonso does an excellent job relating to the frustrations reps have with other departments within our company. He is always looking out for his reps and has the ability to put himself in the rep's shoes and ask himself, what is wrong with the situation? People become very loyal to Alfonso. See? Does that describe you and your associates and your downline? Interesting. Here's what a lack of social awareness looks like. This guy happens to be an attorney. Yes, that's my background. And yes, attorneys probably don't have a lot of social awareness skills. What people who work with him say, his name is Craig. Craig needs to allow others to feel good about their ideas, even when he has a better plan. He also needs to be more patient and allow them to have equally effective plans that are just different from his plan. I would like him to seek to understand what people are feeling and thinking and notice what evidence there is regarding situations before speaking his opinion or offering solutions. Craig needs to listen better. He needs to pay attention to what is being said rather than thinking about what he wants to say. It is usually apparent in his body language that he is not listening, which puts people off. I also wish he would be more accurate when representing other people's ideas. Okay, so that's a person with lack of social awareness. And then the last one, like I said, we talked about relationship management, which is so crucial. Let's look at a person who's very, very high. This gal's, her name is Gail. She's the chief financial officer, and her relationship management score was very high. Gail has an innate ability to read people and their emotions, and she uses what she learns to create a safe and inviting forum for discussion. There has never been a time that Gail's door was not open when I have needed her, and she always manages to maintain a pleasant and professional manner, even when her workload is demanding. People know that they can count on Gail, and what they say to her in confidence will be respected and not repeated. Gail is very sensitive to others and tries to make situations better. When someone is upset, she asks just enough questions to get a handle on the situation and then is able to give concrete advice and help to the person, making them feel 100% better. Gail makes you feel smart and confident when she delivers feedback, even if you've made a mistake. She helps her staff improve and grow, and she sets a good example for dealing with people assertively and speaking up. Now, if you had all those things going on for you in your life, what would that relationship be with a new prospect you just talked to? Think about it. This isn't just about work environment. This is how you want to be. You want your prospects to come back and describe you in this light. Isn't that true? Yeah. Great. And then, of course, we have people that lack of relationship skills. Here's Dave, a sales manager. He had a low relationship skill score, and he had said, if Dave doesn't see eye to eye with someone, he makes it apparent it's not worth developing the relationship. I wish that he would still dedicate the time and resources necessary to make a win for the territory. When he feels that a certain person is not working, person he is working with may not be an ally but someone not to be trusted, he will be very clear about his opinion about that person. This has a ripple effect on the people he tells, and it erodes camaraderie. Dave is usually effective when he gets to know people better and trusts that they are not a threat, but he'll have to get over this if he wants to keep climbing the ladder. Dave can get overexcited when meeting new people, and this can be a good trait, but some people don't respond to his enthusiasm, and they pull back from him. It makes it hard for them to connect with him. I would like to see Dave work on unifying his team and dispel the feeling that some decisions are made based on his personal opinion or bias. Too often, people feel as if they've had their professional opinions ignored in spite of providing a solid foundation for that opinion. Whew. Okay, so which one do you want to be? Not hard to decide, but those are just examples I wanted to read into because I wanted you to get a flavor for what this is about, this emotional intelligence and how it can run your life. If you lack it, you'll be left out short. You'll be losing relationships, and you won't be very effective in what you're trying to do in Manatech. So critical for all of us to develop a real strong base of emotional intelligence so that we are building and stronger in our awareness and our ability to build relationships with people. They said, I put in here in the book, it also showed that research shows only about 1/3 of adults are able to accurately identify their emotions as they happen. What does that mean? It means two-thirds of us are typically controlled by our emotions and not good at spotting them to use them for our benefit. And that's a sad state of affairs. How does this play on our success at network marketing? A lot. It kind of forms the foundation for a host of skills, all these different skills and many more, but they just gave kind of a short laundry list of many of the skills that are tied directly to your emotional intelligence. Decision-making capacity is very tied directly to emotional intelligence. I mean, with you're going to be a very poor decision-maker because you're going to be allowing what to control your decisions? The emotions. Instead of logic and reasoning, emotions are going to play a huge role in your decisions. The ability to capitalize on opportunities. You're going to shut things out of your life because you're a knee-jerk reaction. You're allowing emotions to play a role instead of allowing to go to the logic and reasoning part of your brain. Tolerance for change. That's kind of, I laugh when I see that because I always think of my husband. He's an immediate no guy. So everything you ask him, honey, would you like to? No. So hilarious. It's almost like you can, he's so predictable, it's sad. Does that make sense? I'd say it's funny, but it's sad. Tolerance for change. So people have very limited tolerance for change if they're allowing emotions to always dictate to them. Time management, critical to be a good time manager that you promotions and you don't allow them to run your life. Trust building, again, the same thing. How are you allowing people? The best way to build trust is to what? How do you become trustworthy? Well, one of the main things to do is to be a great listener, to be accurate in your statements, to deal with people in a high level of integrity, but to really show how much you care about that person. When they understand how much you care, then the trust is endless. And you do that by what? Listening to them, feeling them, having empathy, feeling where their emotions are, allowing them to feel like you're after one thing, understanding who they are and how you can best serve them. And that's what trust building is about. Stress management. Again, if you let those emotions go, you're going to be totally whacked out and stressed out, and you're not going to be, you know, you're going to let yourself go and go and go until you finally get a grip, and it might be a little late, you know, two heart attacks later. Evaluating people, motivating them to reach their dreams. All of the leadership characteristics that exist, people, are tied to this emotional intelligence thing. We really, to be a great leader, you really need to have, you know, a high level of emotional intelligence. And the authors of the book are Travis Bradbury and Gene Greaves, and they said, because EQ, emotional intelligence, affects everything you say and do, it is the single biggest predictor of performance at work and the strongest driver for leadership and personal excellence. Again, you can see the reason why Mary Jo jumped on this topic so big, because I think it's so crucial. It's absolutely crucial. So now that you understand what it is and you have a little flavor for what it is, and maybe you related to some of the descriptions I read from the book about people who have high levels of self-awareness or self-management or social awareness or relationship management, those four categories. You can see the first two have to do with you and this last two have to do with how you interact with other people. But if you listen to the people I described, and you could say, wow, I was more that person than that person, or I was more that, oh, that sounds like me. You can say, where would I be in terms of my own evaluation of my emotional intelligence? Well, there's an emotional intelligence appraisal test that you can take online. It's $39. And I'm suggesting you don't do that because you can get it a lot less expensive. There's one that's just like a preliminary one that'll just give you some immediate feedback that's free. You could take that one, although it's not associated with this book in any way, shape, or form, but I took it and I enjoyed it as a preliminary, but it's very short and sweet and to the point. And I gave you the website at the top of the outline. Test your EQ right before the outline started between the announcements. You can just copy paste that over and take that. And again, the emotional intelligence test that's there is, again, very short. It's not very detailed, but it'll give you some feedback, which is good to start with some. But the most important thing you need to do in filling that out is to be totally, totally honest. So as I tell people, get naked with yourself. In other words, strip yourself down and be totally honest when you answer those questions. And that's how it's going to best serve you. And the other thing you can do, Lydia in the background, she was laughing because she asked me to do it with her this morning, so I did that. And she said, do it with somebody you know. And absolutely, get some feedback from somebody who knows you, and they might give you some more honest answers than you might be able to do for yourself, okay? Because sometimes we get in our own way, and that's what locks us into who we are today, because we get stuck in our own way. We only see so much because we're limited in our perspective. The examples of a way to increase your emotional intelligence, just a few. Quit treating your feelings as good and bad. We do a lot of evaluation of good and bad in terms of feelings when emotions are emotions. They're not good and bad. They just are. And so we tend to get beat up ourselves on things like that, get the hammers out. But emotions are just emotions. They're not good, bad. You can create good and bad results from them, but they're not good and bad. They're just emotions. They are. You can say, oh, my gosh, that's a bad. No, no, it just is an emotion. That anger was just something that happened. That anger was an emotion I felt, right? Lean into your discomfort. That's another technique to use. Feel your emotions physically. So start physically allowing them to impact your life in a big way, and maybe you're going to start saying, I don't want to feel that way. So there's ways of getting, but they're examples of how you can start becoming very aware of what's around you, and that's your first step, that self-awareness, is so you can get more intelligent about dealing with those emotions. And those are just some examples. What I've done, the book that I basically, that this article was kind of referring to, is a book called Emotional Intelligence 2.0, and its authors are Travis Bradbury and Gene Greaves. They're already up. The quote above in a paragraph 3 in your outline is from them. You can get the book at Barnes & Noble for $12, so, or Amazon. That's why I told you not to spend $39 and take their test, because when you buy the book, they give you a password that allows you to go in and take that test for free. So that $39 test becomes free if you buy their $12 book. Plus, you also have a book that gives you 66 strategies, outlines them for you, and then goes through them for you on how to best support yourself. And it gives you your own emotional IQ action plan. In other words, how do I help myself? They give you an action plan for you personally that you fill in and that you work on with accountability to make sure that you're improving your emotional IQ. And then what you do after a period of a month or 3 months, whatever period of time, they give you the ability to go back in and take the emotional IQ test one more time to see how the differences that you've adopted in your life and the awareness that you've increased in your life and all the things you're doing, see if it's making a difference for you. So you can hold yourself accountable by retaking the test in a month or 3 months or whatever time frame you choose to do it. But you have the option to do that again for free once you buy the book. But what I did for you today, just to help you get kicked off, hopefully this entices some of you. I'm not trying to market this book. It's not, you know, I wasn't hired by these two writers to go market their book. I just found this information absolutely fascinating and, for me, crucial. Because if it's a way I can grow and I can be better at building relationships with people, you better believe I want to be a part of that. And I saw some things in there that kind of grabbed onto me and made it, you know, were clear things that I'm hanging on to from a past, and I want to work on letting them go so that I can be the best I can be. So that's my decision for myself. You make your own decision. But the other thing I've helped you with today in the outline, I took the at the end of each chapter that when she cut these two covered the four concepts that go into emotional intelligence, which are the four: self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and relationship management. I copied the list of strategies for each one of them, so you can read through some of those, and even those themselves can help you. But I don't think isolated by themselves are going to do a lot of good for you, but at least you'll get an idea of what's covered in the book as some of the strategies for each of the categories. But you got to first do your personal awareness and assessment test to find out where are your weaknesses around this, and then build your personal action plan to operate on that. And the last page of the outline, which you can look at, is basically a picture that I had Lydia take out of the book. She's so good at doing this. Thank you, Lydia. And it's a sizing up the whole person. And it really gives you the quadrants here. We look at ourselves, and we're made up of our IQ, our personality, and then our EQ. And, you know, the incredible thing is the IQ and personality EQ are distinct qualities all of us possess. Together, they determine how we think and how we act. It is impossible to predict one based on the other. People may have incredible high intelligence, but zero emotional intelligence. And some of you probably can relate to somebody like that. You might even say, Mary Jo, that's my spouse, you know, or something, you know, right now. People are all types of personalities. They can, you know, you can have a type A that's got no EQ, or you can have a type, you know, B that has all EQ. It doesn't, there's no correlation between types of personalities, IQ, and EQ. But the intriguing thing of all three of them, EQ is the only quality that is flexible and able to change. So what do we need to work on? Exactly. EQ. So anyway, so great book, people, great information. How many of you guys, you know, we're done and we have a few minutes left. How many of you relate to any of this? Is anyone on the call today who wants to step up and be a little vulnerable and talk about how this related to you this morning? We have a quiet group. Anyone find that they might have something to work on? They saw something in what we talked about this morning? Or how many of you are on the internet right now going to Amazon to buy that $12 book? Okay, quiet. All right, everybody, I'll let you all take this information and pontificate over it and make some decisions for yourself. Read through the list. See if emotional intelligence is something you want to work on to be a better person, to be a better friend, a better spouse, a better mom, a better dad, to improve that relationship, those relationships in your life, and to seek out greater peace in your life as well through the process of getting a better handle on your emotional status and utilizing your emotions to their greatest effect in terms of creating best and possible results in your life. Because we surely all can look back at our history and find times in our life where our emotions did the exact opposite. They were perhaps some of the most self-destructive things in our lives, in our relationships, in servicing ourselves and in achieving the purpose that we're here to achieve. So, okay, people, that's it. That's all I have for this morning.
Reach out.
There's something peeking up. Yep.
I'm a brave soul here. last week when I was speaking with my friend, she said something about me that I hadn't seen in myself. And I don't want to say it upset me, but it was something that I sat with and I thought, I don't really want to come across that way. So it seems this talk today is a perfect opportunity to kind of examine that. It seems like there's some tools here that I could examine that with and then make choices.
Wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely, and thank you for sharing. It's wonderful. And always keep in mind that when people give you that feedback, always, the minute you get angry about somebody's feedback, I'm going to suggest to you that should be a huge red flag right away. Uh-oh, that's a negative in emotional intelligence, okay? Because
I was really angry. I was disappointed in myself, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay, so you took it upon yourself. You were more disappointed in yourself, but you really didn't know if it was true or not. You knew her response to you was, but you were going, am I really like that? Because I don't want to be like that. Right?
Exactly.
Good. Well, great. And see how great feedback is? Because feedback is what gives us the idea of, there are things like, we didn't even know it existed. How can you take action about something when you don't even realize it's out there, right? I mean, so we need to have the reality brought into our face up front for us to take, you know, good action or actions that are helpful action to quash whatever it is that is negative in our personalities or in our relationships, in our developing relationships with people and our interactions with people on earth. So, great.
I think sometimes we just think that other people hear us the way that we hear ourselves in our own head, and it becomes such a habit to us that we don't understand truly what's coming across. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
We hear a different thing in our own mind than
Absolutely.
Really, yeah.
It's even the way we put words together can sound totally different to somebody else, but it's because that's the way we heard it as a child, as we grew up, that we take it to mean one thing. and words themselves can be misunderstood in a dramatic way. Inflections in our voice. I mean, there are all sorts of little habits and things that we've accumulated over the years that we just think, we assume one way, and that's not really how we're being heard. Yeah. Great.
Thanks.
Great. Good. Well, good luck with this. And I'm looking for some feedback from some of you guys that jump on the bandwagon and tackle this. I'm sure going after it. It's major for me because I just know that it can only do one thing in my life, and that is help me be better. And if I can be better, if I can go out there and share Manatech with people and I can, instead of signing up 50, 60, 70%, maybe I add another 10% of the people that I talk to, I get to sign up because I've taken this $12 test and $12 book. Oh my gosh, that will make that $12 back, 1,000 times over. So very much worth your while. One last thing I wanted to tell you, because some of you understand Stephen Covey, and this, at the beginning of this book, there's a lot of write-ups of recommendations and quotes from famous authors, Brian Tracy, Stephen Covey, Ken Blanchard, who's the author of The 1 Minute Manager. There's just a lot of authors in here, but I wanted to read to you Stephen Covey, because he's one of my favorite writers, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, one of my favorite books out there. But Stephen Covey wrote in here, he said, quote unquote, "This book gives abundant practical findings and insights with emphasis on how to develop EQ. Research shows convincingly that EQ is more important than IQ in almost every role and many times more important in leadership roles." Isn't that huge? So I'm telling you, people, I think EQ is where it's at. Okay. All right, everybody. Have a great week. Work hard. Enjoy life. And I'll talk to you next Monday. Bye-bye.
Mary Jo, bye-bye.